This is Casey Currents. I'm Sylvia Maria Gross.
And I'm Susan Wilson.
The golden age of radio drama might have been in the 1930s and 40s, but aside from good old Garrison Keillor, you don't hear much on the airwaves anymore. Still, practitioners say the genre is alive and kicking in podcasts, audiobooks, even video games. Next weekend, KC hosts Here Now, the Audio Arts and Fiction Festival, and will draw old-timey radio voices as well as younger producers. We're going to talk to one of the organizers in a minute. But first, here's an example of a two-minute story called Shea Tootsie by veteran producer Tom Lopez.
It was in Paris, in one of those retro noirish cafes, the sort of place that's always dark, even in daylight. It's the sort of place you'd expect to find Hemingway or Fitzgerald, or maybe Gertrude Stein and Alice B. huddled together at the next table. It's the sort of place where American expatriates hung out back in the 1920s and 30s. When you walked down the steps into Chez Tootsie, it was like stepping into a time warp.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Vous avez une allumette, un feu?
What's that?
A light.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, the zippo.
Are you Tootsie?
No. I'm Claudette.
I'm Freddie.
American.
That's right. After that, I spent a lot of time at Chez Tootsie. I felt I fit right in with its bohemian clientele. But it was Claudette I wanted to see. I asked her out. She said no. Finally, I told her, I've fallen in love with you.
I know, Freddy.
Will you go away with me?
I cannot, Freddy.
Why not?
We are from the different time.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
I have to go back to the States.
Why?
Business.
When you come back?
You bet I will.
When?
In a few weeks.
Do not stay long.
I won't, I promise.
Will you write to me, Freddy?
I will.
Send it to me, care of Chez Tootsie.
So a few weeks in the States turned into months. First, I wrote almost every day, then every week, then less as time went by. Claudette never wrote back. For some reason, I didn't expect she would. Then one day, my letter was returned, no such address. And then another came back, and another. I caught the next flight to Paris. I couldn't find the cafe. I couldn't find the street. People told me there never was a Chez Tootsie. On my last night in Paris, I went to see a movie. It was an old black and white film from the 30s. I was tired. I was dozing off when I heard,
"Vous avez un feu?"
I opened my eyes. It was her.
Oh.
There she was, on the screen.
No.
And there was the cafe. And there was an American.
American.
And they fell in love. It was then I realized that I'd been playing his part.
That was Chez Tootsie by Tom Lopez. He's among the audio fiction producers who'll be at next weekend's Here Now Audio Arts and Fiction Festival. The National Audio Theater Festivals is putting on the event. I caught up with board president Sue Zizza, who said audio fiction is more than The War of the Worlds and Fibber McGee and Molly.
There are what we refer to as the roots of our artistic endeavors and the roots of our art form. The truth is that there are many, many contemporary artists who are currently producing audio drama, audio theater, audio fiction in many different forms. And actually, while many people do believe that after the golden age of radio, this kind of production went out of style, actually, if you look back on what people like Stan Freberg were doing in the advertising community in the 60s and 70s, and then, of course, into the more contemporary time period, you'll see that all those little commercials they were doing are really just mini dramas in 60 seconds. So really, the art form, the style of production, the style of storytelling has never really gone out of favor. It's simply that commercial radio found a way to make more money by simply playing records. And the idea of continuing to have dramas and the kind of storytelling on the air went to television here in the United States. However, abroad in Europe, South America, even in parts of Asia, this kind of storytelling is extremely active and also very important in terms of their distance educational mission in places like Africa, for example.
Where is audio theater thriving, not just sort of around the world, but where do people find it?
Well, here in the United States, there are a couple of places you can find it. One place you can find it is in the commercial audiobook industry. There are a number of producers like myself who produce audiobooks that are considered multi-voice or multicast, that really likes to find particular stories that are well produced with multiple voices. And there are some wonderful audio actors who participate not only as narrators, but also as voice actors.
Now, what are some of the different genres that will be represented at the festival?
Oh, we have mysteries, we have science fiction, we have fantasy, we have actually two sessions are going to be featured from the Mark Time Awards. And this is a group of audio artists that for the last 15 years have been supporting, in particular, science fiction and horror fantasy writers. But in addition to that, in the Golden Voices Theater, for example, on Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon at the Tivoli, we'll be having live narrators reading stories of the Jazz Age and stories from the American West, stories about pioneers and cowboys and Native Americans.
Why has it been in Missouri? What's the connection to this region?
Well, the Midwest Radio Theater Workshop was originated as a project of KOPN Radio more than 30 years in Columbia, Missouri. And over time, the project grew and evolved and became the National Audio Theater Festivals. But our relationship with the Missouri Arts Council has long been positive and healthy, and they've been very, very supportive of maintaining the art form. And so because of our relationship with the Missouri Arts Council, we chose to maintain the festival and the kind of work that we're doing in Kansas City. The National Audio Theater Festivals does, however, run smaller 2 and 3 day workshop events, hands-on workshop events, and we've run them in places like Portland, Maine, and Los Angeles, California, and in a variety of other cities around the country. But the bigger events that we do, what we call our gemstone events or, you know, primary events, those still happen in Missouri because of our long and wonderful relationship with the Missouri Arts Council.
I wonder if you can tell me, what do you think is the future of audio fiction?
Oh, I think it's only going to continue to be a ever-evolving and changing art form. We have seen producers that have created apps for the new internet, iPhones, and all the rest of that, in which there are interactive audio storytelling happening. Thanks to the internet, producers have the opportunity, even if the local radio station or the local commercial station doesn't have room for their programming, the internet gives them the opportunity to put their material out in podcasts and streaming and all the rest of that. And this year, actually, the National Audio Theater Festival's partnered with an organization called the Atlanta Fringe Festival. And the thing that was very exciting to us was that when the Atlanta Fringe Festival first began, one of their primary missions was to put something on the air called Atlanta Fringe Radio. And they saw that many of the artists who were doing one-act plays that would be part of a traditional fringe festival were experimenting with having their work recorded in sound so that they could hear how the material was coming together and all of that. So I really believe that given the strength of the audiobook community and the audiobook marketplace, given the power of the internet and the fact that producers can become their own quote-unquote radio stations, and given the fact that we have the technology now that is cost-effective and you don't have to own a big $100,000 studio to produce high-quality work, I think that more and more people will find the storytelling. And what was really exciting to us, Sylvia, was that we actually had to turn people away at the festival, meaning that we received so many submissions in our first year that the judges and others who were involved in reviewing the material for us actually called us up and said, "We have more stuff to listen to than the time frame you've given us. We never expected the outpouring of material." And so the festival really tried to reflect that.
Sue Zizza is president of the board of the National Audio Theater Festivals and one of the organizers of the Here Now Festival coming up next weekend here in Kansas City. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for the time today.
And we're ending this week's show with a song from the Silver Maggies' first full-length album, My Pale Horse. The Silver Maggies are a Kansas City band. They describe their sound as high desert noir, gothic country, and Midwestern roots Americana. Here's the track, End of Time.